This was a big one today. I've never seen anything like this. First of all, many years ago, these two were signed for a massive deal at $7.58 million each for UFA contracts. And now both of them on the same day are getting bought out. Wow. Dane Mizutani from the Pioneer Press joins us, beat reporter for the Minnesota Wild. And Dane, like, I thought maybe you'd buy out one, but to buy out both, and then, like, this year there's big savings, but next year, 12.7 dead cap space. The year after, 14.7 mil dead cap space. The fourth year, 14.7 mil dead cap space. Why? Why the Wild do this?
Honestly, on first glance, I don't know. But after talking to Phil Guerin today, I have a little bit better of an idea of what he was thinking. But I think I'm in the same boat as you, and I think everyone else who follows the game. Like, this was stunning this morning. And it was just stunning because I thought there was a chance Zach Parise could get bought off this offseason. You know, that marriage seemed to go south last year. He fell out of the rotation. He was getting healthy scratch. He wasn't playing in the playoffs until injuries kind of happened, and he was able to get into the lineup. Buying him out made sense. Buying out Ryan Suter as well, who played all 56 games of the condensed, all seven games here of the first round series against the Golden Knights. He's not the Ryan Suter of old, like in his prime, where he could play 30 minutes a night and he'd be fine. But he was still a serviceable defenseman. So the fact that they pulled the trigger and bought them both out, I didn't get it at first. Now, we talked to Bill Guerin this afternoon. He basically kept saying the same phrase. This is just an example of us moving forward. We have to move forward. We have to turn the page. And my thoughts are, 9 years ago now, July 4th, 2012, when these two signed, it was Stanley Cup or bust. It's becoming very, very clear that not only did they not accomplish that goal, but it's time to kind of move on from that core, that culture, everything that existed kind of pre-Bill Guerin almost. I think he just wants to kind of start fresh and continue to kind of turn the page. And if you have both of those guys around, or even one of those guys around, you're almost kind of living in the past. So I think this was his way of saying, like, I'm for real. This is what we're doing. This is not necessarily him saying this is my team, but him saying what we've done in the past is not good enough. Now it's going to cost down the road, and that'll be interesting to see how he navigates it. But as you mentioned, he does save some money this year. It should allow him to kind of maneuver the expansion draft a little better and, you know, potentially go out and get a couple of free agents. But all in all, just a shocking day in Minnesota.
So, Dane, do you know, was there even a conversation to ask Ryan Suter just to waive his no-movement clause? Because I don't think Seattle's claiming him. And then you could just protect Matt Dumba right there. Why not do that?
That's the thing. We asked Bill that today. We asked, did you think about asking about waiving no movement for expansion? We also asked, did you just explore the trade market? You guys up in Edmonton, like, just framing for Duncan Keith. Like, would there have been a market for Ryan Suter? Would he have waived his no trade clause to go to a certain place? I don't know. Bill Guerin basically just said, no, we didn't do any of that. This just felt like the cleanest way to do it, which in my opinion, reading between the lines, when you say this felt like the cleanest way to do it, it was, I've made my decision. I've gotten, you know, permission from whoever I needed to get permission from to do this. And this is the clean break I want. I don't have to ask and jump through hoops with agents and getting guys to move their, you know, waves, or, you know, would you accept a trade here? Would you not accept a trade here? It's, you're gone. We're buying you out. And it just seemed like it was a decision he wanted to make, and he was just going to follow through on the decision once he got permission to make it. I don't know if this was all because of – I think the fact that your protection lists are due at the end of the week definitely expedited this decision. It made it be so, okay, we get two extra spots, basically, if you're the Wild, by getting rid of Parise and Suter, and there are no movement clauses. You can protect two extra players. I don't think this was done solely because of the expansion draft that's upcoming. And I think that's why it wasn't so much, Ryan, will you waive your no movement clause? Because I think this is something that, you know, has legs beyond just the draft this next week.
Yeah, because yeah, exactly. Like it just because I look at in the net like years 2, 3, and 4. Like if your goal is to sign Fiala and Kaprizov, which obviously it is. And we've heard that Capri, you know, the Wild were willing to go, hey, 8 years, you know, $8 million on Kaprizov after only 1 year in the NHL, which is crazy. In a way, obviously they're very high on him and he wants to go shorter term. So it'd be hard to say, okay, well, now we'll go 4 years with you when 3 of those 4 years we're going to have like next season, the dead cap space for is like, what was something like 16%, right? And it doesn't, even if the cap goes up to 90 million. After that, it would still be 16%.
Yeah, year two, and especially years 3 and 4 of this buyout, have the potential to be catastrophic for the Wild because you're essentially paying the entire cap hit of Zach Parise and Ryan Suter if they were on the team to not be on the team. So you have to pay their like, obviously the salary, the money is guaranteed. They're going to get their money. But when we talk about this cap hit, and that's what I think fans, that's the only thing fans care about. They don't care about the money that the player is actually getting. They care about how is my favorite team going to be able to build a team? Well, your cap draft now, because there is going to be, like you said, $12-plus million tied up in dead cap next year, or in 2 years, I'm sorry. And then in years 3 and 4, there's going to be like $15 million in dead cap. So you're going to have to field a roster, sign who you want to sign, you know, maybe dole out certain extensions to this guy or that guy, while also working with the fact that you're $15 million in, you know, the red already. So it's going to be interesting to see how Bill Guerin and his front office does navigate this moving forward. The only thing I will say is, like, everything that you and I are talking about right now and everyone across the hockey world is talking about as far as how are they going to navigate this dead cap is definitely those conversations were had at length in with Bill Guerin and his front office and his hockey ops. I think they have a plan. Now it's a matter of just are they going to be able to execute that plan moving forward. I don't think it's something where they're like, all right, we're just planning for this year and then we'll figure it out in 2, 3, and 4. Like, I think they have a plan at how they want to approach the years where they're going to be up against it. But, you know, a plan makes sense until it doesn't. So hopefully everything that they're hoping will happen, you know, breaks in their favor. Because if one or two things goes the other way, I think this could be something that comes back to bite them in the long run.
Yeah, no question about it. Where do you come out then? What's the latest? Guerin, what did he say about the contract negotiations with Kaprizov and Fiala?
He said ongoing, so it sure doesn't sound like anything's happening soon. But he's been very, very adamant that, contrary to certain reports, like, it has not gone cold with Kaprizov. It's not progressing necessarily at the rate that I think some people thought it would. I think some people out there thought Kaprizov would be locked up long-term by now. But it's a give and take, like you alluded to. The Wild want a long-term max 8-year deal. Kaprizov wants more of a bridge deal so he can get to unrestricted free agency and figure it out. And if you're Kirill Kaprizov, what's the point in signing for 8 years at this point? Like, you are on the up and up and on the trajectory to be a star player in this league. No need to lock yourself into somewhere like midway through your prime. So I get his standpoint on that. I get his representation kind of pushing that. But I also get Guerin not just being like, I'm going to give you whatever you want so I can sign the contract and be done with it. It's a push-pull, and I think it's a healthy push-pull. I don't think there's anything imminent at the moment with Kaprizov. He also mentioned that Guerin mentioned that he touched base with Fiala and Fiala's representation and about 10 days ago. Now, I remember, I think it was 3 years ago now, Kevin Fiala didn't sign all the way up until the preseason, almost darn near the regular season. So this could be gone out as well. It's ongoing. I don't think we're anywhere near a deal being struck with either of those two right now.
Dane Mizutani joins us from Minnesota, of course, the Wild. If you missed it, they bought out both Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. you know, Ryan Suter, I think, probably has some left. Parise, you know, I'm not so sure. He'll probably get a contract, but, it's, you know, it's going to be lower. What type of contract? Like, what's Ryan Suter going to be looking for? Because he really hasn't had a ton of playoff success in Minnesota. Do you think he's looking to just take less money and be on a competitive team?
I would think so, but I also know Ryan Suter has, like, ties to the Midwest, and maybe he wants to just stay around here. I don't know what that looks like, but I know Ryan pretty well. I've been in the team 5 years. Like, he wants to win a cup, and I think he wanted to win one here, and he wanted to stay here because of family, and, you know, he's from nearby Wisconsin. I think at this point, though, when the door opens and he's not going to have his pick of the litter necessarily with where he goes, but I think there will be some people and some contenders that could use a Ryan Suter. So I think Ryan might be willing to take less money to go to a contender. I don't think it's all about how much money I can get right now. I'll sign with anyone who pays me. I think it's about legacy at this point. He's 36 years old. Like you said, he hasn't had a ton of playoff success, certainly not with the Wild in the past decade. Only getting out of the first round twice and immediately losing in the second round. I think he wants to win, and I think he wants to be on a contender. What does that look like money-wise? I'm not sure, but it sure does help to have the money still coming in from your old team as you look for a contract with a new one. So if I have to guess, I'm thinking Ryan's looking for a chance to contend for a Stanley Cup title, legitimately contend, which he really hasn't had in a long time.
Yeah, it's man, it's kind of fascinating to see where he goes. And why did, like, I heard rumblings that Suter and the organization, you know, there was, I don't know if animosity is too strong of a word, but there's a little friction there. How come?
With Ryan, yeah, I don't know. I hear that sometimes too. I think that's just something that's kind of an easy narrative to push here and there. Ryan can be vocal at times, and he's not afraid to speak his mind, and I think sometimes that can be, you know, misconstrued as, you know, there is problems within the organization. I think all in all, like, Suter enjoyed his time there. I do think he kind of soured on the way the organization was handling the Zach Parise situation late in the season. So that was something where sometimes, like, Ryan Suter, you'd go a month without hearing. But he kind of went out of his way late last season to say, you know, it's unfortunate the way that things are being handled with Zach right now. And I'm talking about how Zach Parise was getting scratched down the stretch. Zach Parise was getting scratched in the playoffs. I think Ryan Suter felt like, you know, that's not cool. Like, they're trying to undermine Zach Parise's success. I think that kind of started to wear on a relationship. But I don't get the sense that this was two sides that were kind of at a disconnect and they needed to find a way to get Ryan out of town. I think sometimes relationships just get strained over the course of time. It's been a decade if they haven't had a ton of success in the playoffs, and I think that does play a role in it too. But I can say with pretty sure confidence that I don't think he liked how Zach Parise was treated down the stretch and how things were kind of changing kind of right before their very eyes.
Dane, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. This offseason is going to be crazy. This just adds to it. I didn't see this one coming. I thought maybe a Parise buyout, but I thought Suter might be asked to waive his no-movement clause, but wow, buyout definitely catches me off guard a little bit. That's a crazy, crazy dead cap hit penalty in years 2, 3, and 4 for the Wild. I appreciate your time. Have a great day.
Anytime, Jason. Thank you.